everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. And this time we are talking another episode of Batman TAS.
Who gave this one to us?
This is a Brian Rapp episode.
Yes, thank Brian, you,
Brian, I'm going to say right now, yeah, I don't know if this is going to be an episode up to our standard what the fuck kind of episode, but I appreciate on a very cellular level you bringing this episode back into my life again because I loved it more than I could ever express.
Wait, Brian's also the one that gave us the Hulk Hogan, right?
He had to punish us. Yeah, we were bad.
So I feel like this is an abusive relationship, Brian. I feel like you do something terrible and then they were like, oh, God damn it. Oh, I'm going to break up with Brian Rapp. But then you're like, but here's some flowers. So as long as you keep bringing us flowers, you can punches in the face every now and
then. Well, he has already given us our next month's episode. It's an episode of Silverhawks, which was the futuristic Thunderhawk, a futuristic Thundercats.
That sounds kind of cool.
Which is already kind of futuristic.
Yeah. So I'm curious to revisit this show because when I was younger, I loved some Silverhawks. Uh-huh. And now I don't know what
I've never even heard of it, so I'm curious to see it too.
It's literally the same people that made Thundercats. Instead of cats, they're birds. And instead of on a fantasy world, they're in space.
Oh, man. So the Thundercats constantly want to catch and eat them and leave them at the doorsteps of their masters.
Yeah. It's a real Tweety Bird scenario. With Sylvester. It's really uncomfortable. But Batman, we're doing Beware the Gray Ghost, mm-hmm. Episode 18 of season one. And oh my goodness, it opens with young Bruce Wayne.
Just to be clear.
Oh, yes.
I did not watch this episode.
Chan, I didn't know if you were going to give up the game on that so quickly.
Oh, yeah. I am 100% going to do that. And here's the thing. This sounds like a wonderful episode.
It's great. You got to go back and watch it.
I wasn't able to do it because I had to do the...
You went to the Fear Factor thing today.
The torturous Fear Factor yeah. thing. So
I mean, literally, you instead of watching this episode for the Patreon, you went and ate bullshit.
I had one of the most horrendous experiences of my life.
Yeah, let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah. Who wins now?
No, who wins? None of y'all. I can tell you what, because
she's been burping all day.
I'm gonna make this miserable for you. I'm going to ruin this episode.
How are you
gonna
ruin this episode?
I mean, well, guess we'll find out, huh?
That's very threatening, and I don't like it.
We gave Chan a little bit of like a 30-second rundown, but he doesn't know how it ended, so he's going to find out throughout the podcast.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so young Bruce Wayne is watching a black and white old TV show, and it's basically The Shadow.
Yes.
I mean, that's the jam behind it.
Uh-huh.
Remind me very much of The Shadow. Fallout 4 is The Silver Shroud. It's the same exact deal as Beware the Gray Ghost.
And it's sort of like, oh, you get little glimpses of what inspired Batman beyond just the horrible murder of his parents.
Yeah, because his dad's still alive when he's watching.
Yeah, which also, that was very sweet. His dad is very sweet to him. He tells him, like, all right, at the end of The Gray Ghost, you got to go to bed. So he's like a sweet man who did not deserve to die.
Probably didn't deserve to get shot in that alley. By
I tell you what, any media that the Waynes are taking in, I gotta be concerned. I figure, like, anytime they're watching TV together, this could end with them being murdered. Uh-huh. I figure I'd like go to a drive-in movie, or you know, like go to a reading, like a book reading.
Hey, honey, do you mind if I turn on the radio?
No.
Also, Thomas Wayne is voiced by the same person who does adult Bruce Wayne, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's Kevin Conroy.
He deepens his voice a little bit, and the Gray Ghost is played by Adam West.
Adam, goddamn West.
It's super cool. And it also later on to me added an extra layer of sadness.
Yes.
Like this was there were parts of this where I was like, oh no, this is another one of those Batman episodes where I'm sad.
It's a lot of heartbreaking stuff that happens. Like I just have here, like I'm already enjoying it. He's watching it. There's a parallel storyline because in the real world, Batman Bruce Wayne is dealing with the Mad Bomber series of bombings. Nobody can figure out how the bombs are getting in despite a police presence. There's identical notes and whatnot being left behind.
And he sort of remembers this. Like, he's like, wait, wasn't that an episode of a show that I watched? Which I feel like anyone who watches a show when they're 4 or 5 is like gonna sort of remember it.
Yeah, you know what? If he had had a Gray Ghost podcast that does what we do for G.I. Joe, then all of those lives would have been saved.
Yeah, like if someone starts committing crimes based on G.I. Joe episodes, we are either going to catch them or we will be the perpetrators.
100%. I'm going to say right now, as soon as somebody says, I've put rockets on top of a bunch of burger chains, or I'll be like, I got this, guys. I know exactly what to do.
Yeah. What do you do?
You crawl on top of the rocket, you squeal off the cap, and then you fly the rocket into the river.
We just figured out how Ray is going to die.
God, if that's how I go, it's been a life worth living. That's all I'm going to say.
So the Gray Ghost cartoon design looks so much like Mr. Freeze.
Yes.
Whoa.
His face has got the goggles.
Looking at it right now, this is the Sandman. This is the 40s version of Sandman.
No. Yeah. Pull up the Batman the Animated Series animation for Mr. Freeze next to that one, and you will see what I'm talking about.
It's really the goggles and the big forehead is what we're talking about.
But also the nose, the sharp nose.
Okay. I get that.
Because they do noses differently in this show. Like, some of them are short and squat, like for gangster, Italian-y gangsters. But
racist.
Then anyone who's supposed to be sort of, like, high cheekboned has those sharp noses.
That is,
I mean, that is pretty
Sandman.
Good
that
right
is
there.
Gray Ghost.
That is pretty compelling.
But you didn't pull up Mr. Freeze.
I think that looks a lot more like him
cartoon.
Than Mr. Freeze does. But I think there is a huge similarity, yes.
Yeah, I'm talking about from the same cartoon. They clearly use sort of the same character model.
For reals, dude's got a big old dome over his head.
Yeah.
Look at, zoom in on his nose. Also, he takes
it's just the nose.
Zoom in on his
nose. He takes that dome off eventually.
I want to get back to, they got Adam West to do this. And this is 1992. Mm. Adam West had just been offered the role of Bruce Wayne's father in the Michael Keaton Batman movie, and he turned it down because he couldn't play Batman.
Yeah.
And bless him, some would call it delusional. I call it pride. Adam West identified as Batman.
That's called a negotiation technique.
Is it? Because he wasn't in the movie at all.
No, he probably
he lost that negotiation.
He probably wanted more money, and they said, like, nope, bye. And it was like, okay, cool. I'm just going to put it out there that I wanted to play Batman, and his name stays out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's got a better leverage point when they come to him and say, hey, do you want to do this one-off voice on B-Task?
Well, there's like, a lot of parallels between the life of, what's his name, Trent?
Simon Trent
and Adam West in real life, though, being kind of like hardly really didn't work a lot after that. And
but also, so I realized that Batman doesn't know immediately that what the Mad Bomber is. He sees the note and he's like, why does this seem familiar? And then later on, he has a nightmare that leaves him so sweaty. So very, very sweaty.
Oh, and he's writhing around this giant bed.
Yeah, like, what was, like, I was like, first of all, why is this a nightmare? If you're just recalling when you were a little kid watching a show, why are you like,
I don't know, because
no.
I bet Chan in the middle of the night after watching some of the G.I. Joes we've made him watch is
wakes
definitely writhing around sweating.
No, I will tonight. But not
okay, well, that'd be for different reasons, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, this is when Bruce Wayne realizes, like, oh, yeah, it's that cartoon. So then he and Alfred go to the, like, what is the equivalent of the Museum of Television in Hollywood that we have here.
It's crazy, yeah. He goes into literally the physicalization of YouTube.
Yeah, where there was a fat zit-faced TV nerd drinking with soda with two straws.
Yeah, he was really cranky. He was basically comic book guy from The Simpsons.
Is this supposed to be the WGA building? Over there in on Fairfax,
it is
kind of.
It's the television. I forget exactly.
It's like the
what
archives
they say.
Where they have recordings of everything that's ever been made.
You can go to the WGA and like pull like just about every script that's ever been on television.
Well,
these are the actual films.
But I will tell you what this is because I discovered it right after moving here. That in Beverly Hills,
the Paley Center.
No, there's a building that's just like the
Sprinkles,
the Museum of Television and Movies. Basically.
Oh, okay.
And you go and you can sit at a computer and you can pull up anything in their archives.
With a computer, though. Because this guy actually had the physical reels of everything.
Yeah, whatever they have, like, computerized. But they
it's
also
the
Paley
Center
have
now.
Screens there. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know.
Guys, you're both right. It's okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I would just say right here, a couple things occurred to me. One, the Mad Bomber's only asking for $1 million. I mean, we got that. Mm-hmm. Just pay him.
In 1992 dollars, that's like $140 billion.
Also, do you know how many evil villains are running around Gotham? If you give one guy $1 million, there's like 800 dudes in masks that are going to come out and demand it.
It's going to cost way more than $1 million to repair any one of those buildings. I'd like to say money well spent. Call it protection.
He's just going to keep doing it.
Call it insurance.
But also, when he goes to the Museum of TV and whatever, I was like, oh, this was before they had Daily Motion, before you could illegally download things. So he's just got to. And the fat nerd is like, nope, we lost it. We don't have it. And I was like, oh, no, what do you do before the internet?
What is he doing? He's drinking a goddamn soda in there.
Yeah. Well,
I don't like that at all.
He asked for that. He says, I have everything. I'm a giant nerd. I have everything. He goes, I want the Great Ghost. He goes, well, I don't have that.
Yeah, ask for anything
else, because it went up in a fire like 20 years ago. So it's not like it just recently disappeared as part of the caper. This is just a known thing that it's just not there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is one of those Doctor Who type situations where they lost Prince. I think he specifically says they went up in a fire, which was very common back in the day.
Yeah.
If they weren't actually just throwing the shit away
or
recording over it.
Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have gone back and burned all that Doctor Who. I feel bad about it, but I had a time machine and one thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could
have killed Hitler, instead took out all that Doctor Who.
This is where the episode gets sad for
me. It gets real sad because we have a Simon Trent is in his sad New York apartment.
Which is decorated with Grey Ghost memorabilia.
Only Grey Ghost memorabilia.
Airplane. I'm watching right now, so
you're catching up as we're going. And so I just have here, if Simon Trent had existed, he would have a reality show and he'd be okay.
No, not in the 90s. I mean, honestly.
Not in the 90s. I mean, if it was today.
Watching this and knowing what Adam West went through. Which was so in a second here, his agent calls him.
Yeah.
And he says, I got bad news. You didn't get the part. And then he's like, oh, come on. Like, get me something. You're my agent. And he's like, everyone just still sees you as the Grey Ghost if they remember that show at all. And he's like, I'm an actor. I can play other parts. And this is a very common thing when people play a part that they're so closely related to, like Adam West did. That then people are like, oh, we're not going to cast you in anything else because everyone will just see that and think of you as Batman. And he went through a large, I mean, luckily he had sort of a resurrection. He did Family Guy and he was on all those like animated shows.
Yeah, because we got ironic about our old stars and we started casting people because of that, not casting them because of it.
Exactly. But at this time in his life, he didn't have anything else going on.
And that's why I say if he was around today, he'd have a reality show and it would be magical and I would watch it. And they'd follow him around day-to-day life like being the Grey Ghost.
And
you
then
guys.
The way he delivers the line, I can do other parts, I'm an actor, is so heartbreaking.
It's so spot on.
Here's the thing.
It's so good.
He wouldn't have a reality show because, of course, the Grey Ghost is Adam West. I don't know if they sort of patterned it on Adam West.
Oh, yeah.
And then they got Adam West, or they told Adam West, like, dude, will you be on your show? We'll even like write an episode for you. And he was like, okay, or whatever. He said that it's been his favorite voiceover role and whatnot. And every couple of years, he goes like, oh, yeah, there's a Grey Ghost series in the works, and I'm going to be on it.
I'd watch.
That is, well, I mean, in one sense, it's sad.
It is sad.
In another sense, that's what Adam West has been doing his entire life. And that's what, and he does it much better than a lot of other actors because he did get pigeonholed. That basically destroyed his career. Yeah.
Adam
he
West
only
before,
got to do voice
before
work after.
Batman. We used to do like westerns. He was in like a Three Stooges movie. Like he had like a big career doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he played Batman, and it was against type. I mean, it was as against type on purpose. There was a thing they wanted, the vibe they wanted to get that they got with him. And then afterwards, people only saw him as goofy Batman, mm-hmm. and people took themselves way more seriously than we do today.
Yeah, but
and
luckily,
so nobody would work with him.
He's great on Family Guy.
The best.
He's so good. But also, in a second, he destroys all of his merchandise, and it made me so sad.
I was so sad, too.
I was like, not the merchandise, dude.
Yeah, he breaks everything in his apartment.
Ugh.
He's not even drunk. Like, get drunk first, at least. Help me out.
Yo, how many of you have destroyed everything from a previous relationship? Everything that reminds you of it?
Everything
that you did?
No. That would make me sad. I want that part to live on.
No, I've never. I will like come across things and be like, "Oh, do I want to keep this or I want to toss it?" Oh, I'll toss it. But I've never like gathered everything together and destroyed it.
I've tossed stuff before.
That seems crazy.
But like to just toss something because from that aspect of your life, no, that's I think that's wild.
Yeah,
I know people who do it.
Burn it all. Hashtag Gina and Ray are way too sentimental about failed relationships.
No, get on Twitter. Once I'm done with the relationship, 99% of my relationships, I'm like, well, that's done. And then as I'm like cleaning my apartment in one of my like purges, I'll be like, oh, look, like I still have tons of photos from my first four boyfriends, just because I was like, well, you don't throw out pictures, because I look, I those are periods of my life where I can look at myself and be like, that's what I look like when I was 19. That's what I look like when I was 20.
So what I have here is that if you dated Gina Ippolito, there's a 1% chance it might still work.
Oh, no, what I
heard
was...
That's the guy listening at home is thinking.
No, what I heard was Gina's like, I look very skinny in this picture. I'm going to keep it. I don't care what else is in that picture.
Yeah.
I look good.
Oh, exactly.
Get the scissors.
Or I'll be like, oh, yeah, that was that one time that I went camping. But, like, it's not tied to... My memories aren't tied to... But also, like, you know, every once in a while, then I will be like, oh, okay, I don't need to keep this anymore. I'll toss it. I don't need to keep this anymore. I'll toss it. But it was never like a, oh, yeah, I'm doing a purge.
I mean, none of my relationships ever were ended so poorly that I was like, I got to burn everything to the ground. But
oh, mine have.
Yeah, it would make total sense, and a lot, and plenty of people do.
Yeah.
Like we got, I've got to move on.
So you're the one who burns, and you haven't had that terrible breakup.
Yeah, why
me
burn?
And Gina have had that, and we were sentimental still.
Well, here's
is that
the thing.
Weird?
I will say the one time that I did throw something away that I was like, I should really keep this because it's awesome. Was I had a Doctor Who lunchbox, and I hated the ex so much.
Throw it away.
That I threw it away.
Why didn't you just give it to some?
Because I don't want anyone touching that tainted box.
It's not tainted for them. To them, it's free merch.
No, I feel like they might touch it and become diseased.
Listen, there's one thing I know: you never touch the tainted box.
Wait a minute, did your ex boyfriend have leprosy?
Yes. Okay. He was. I met him at a leper colony.
Wow. Wow.
And she wasn't there doing charitable work. She was there to laugh at people on vacation.
No, she was there to get laid.
Thank
she
you.
Was like, you know what? These dudes are hurting for some...
She's
for
like, some, hey, man, can I get those digits?
Tang.
No, not literally. Hey, everybody.
Yeah, right. I'll give you that one. That's not so bad.
But yeah, I also feel like he's definitely going to regret this.
Well, okay, he smashes everything, but then the very next scene is him selling the merch.
He smashes and then he cries.
I was heartbroken. I started crying almost.
Yeah.
I'm a man, so I didn't.
I was crying earlier because I had to eat a half cup of fish paste.
There it is.
But also, then he falls asleep with the window open, and I wrote, oh, he fell asleep with the window open. He's dead.
What?
Old people get drafts and then they die.
I'm not even kidding. Like, he had nothing more to live for. He sells the merch so that month's rent is paid. He doesn't know how next month's rent is getting paid. May as well sit in this chair and fucking die.
But he doesn't even really sell the merch. He goes and there's a kid who's buying all of his toys and he's like, oh, we haven't sold the last ones that we bought from
I spy all your gray ghost memorabilia, sir, but like, and he knows who he is.
Yeah, the world is just pooping on this Adam West.
But then he falls asleep with the window open, wakes up and finds out all the stuff is back again with a note saying, come meet me. I love it. That made me so happy.
It did make me happy. And also, yeah, you're a bajillionaire, Bruce Wayne. Go buy back all of his stuff and put it there.
Right.
Also, like, good for him for being, I mean, I realize he's Batman, but he was so quiet putting all those, like, he hung a poster back up. Do you know how loud and hard it is to hang a poster straight?
Well, to be fair, he might have actually thought Simon Trent was going to die in that chair, so he really didn't have to, you know.
But then,
much shorter would this episode have been if eBay had existed back then? Because he totally would have been just like, cool, I could just sell this stuff off, and then he would have money.
He would probably
and
be confused because he's old.
Old people don't do
there
eBay.
There were several times throughout this episode where I was like, oh, now Simon Trent is dead. The first one was, the first one was he left the window open, and I thought, and he was sleeping right by it. He's going to get a draft. Second time is like, oh, he finds a note that's like, hey, Grey Ghost, meet me. And he goes, and it's fucking Batman, who doesn't even give him a heads up. Like, he's like, he's not like, hey, don't be scared. I'm Batman. I'm not going to hurt you. He just like shows up out of the darkness. And then Simon Trent freaks out.
Correctly.
Runs away. And I'm like, okay, so now he's going to die of a heart attack. Batman gave him a heart attack. Oops, he's dead.
I don't think you understand how old works, Gina.
No, that sounds spot on to me. So Batman offers him an opportunity here, and he goes, I want you to help me solve this case. It's like an old Grey Ghost episode, and we have a hero's journey. So Simon Trent says no, and
of course,
then a huge explosion happens.
Because, no, because you...
If Batman asks you to come join him at Case Chan, you say yes.
No, he's a,
you always say yes.
He's a goddamn actor. Here's the thing. I did a sketch once that got filmed where I played Genghis Khan. If fucking Batman showed up, he's like, I need you, Genghis Khan, to help me with it. I'm like, no.
Yes.
I'm an actor.
I'm on board.
I just played a role. It was a dumb comedy sketch.
This is what you say to that. You say like, hey, heads up. I'm not really Genghis Khan. But I still totally want to help you. And if that means that I have to put back on the outfit that I was wearing, I am on board.
Look, if it's a deal breaker that I'm not really Genghis Khan who died hundreds of years ago, then I guess we're done here.
Yeah.
But I'll Fu Manchu that bee, and I will hop in the Batmobile and go to the Batcave.
Like, I played Wonder Woman two Halloweens ago. And if someone was like, oh my God, Wonder Woman, you need to help me. I'd be like, hey, I'm 5'2". I'm definitely not Wonder Woman. And that outfit, which was like a very, very skimpy, is probably not the best thing to fight crime in, but I will totally help you,
superhero man. Yeah. As long as you don't mind me wearing my sweats and yoga pants.
Also, two other things about this scene. So there's an explosion, and then it still does not convince him. Like, but Batman's like, there's an explosion. You got to help innocent people. And he's like, no, I'm just an actor, and I'm washed up. And then there's a cool shot of a cool ass rotary phone, and then at Batman is basically like, first of all, he knows that this dude smashed all of his merchandise, sold his merchandise, he brought it back to him. He knows he's down on his luck right now, is what I'm saying.
Batman should offer to give him some money to help him.
I mean,
I'm not saying that. For the Gray Ghost.
I'm saying that.
Why didn't he just say like, here's like $10,000, man. I'll take care of this.
No, I'm saying, yeah, fine. Batman, offer him some money, whatever. But there's a scene where like the Gray Ghost is like, hey, I'm Simon Trent. I'm an actor. I'm not the Gray Ghost. And Batman goes, I can see that now. And then leaves.
Yeah.
And it's like, Jesus Christ, Batman.
Way
to kick an 80-year-old man when he is at his lowest level.
Well, okay. And I have that note here, too. And in that same scene, it's revealed that Simon Trent has all the Gray Ghost tapes. They're not all destroyed. He's been keeping them in his apartment in his vault. And I'm like, well, bad job trying to stay relevant. If you owned these tapes, you could have released them, make the Gray Ghost popular, at least with a subsection, and make your money off comic book shows or something.
I don't think you know how releasing things works, Ray. Like, you're just like, yeah, release it. Release it to the world. Well,
sell it to a distributor. Like, somebody's going to want something for it.
You don't think he has tried that?
I do. It seems like he's keeping these in secret because they're behind a secret panel on his wall. He doesn't want people to know that these even exist anymore because he's depressed.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
They'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe!
Cobra's attacking our winter outpost. Call on the members of the G.I. Joe team.
And here's Gung-Ho, Airborne, Doc, and Snowjob. And every Joe has a two-handed battle grip.
Get aboard the Battle Bear. It's G.I. Joe to the rescue.
G.I. Joe!
We chased off Cobra! Way to go, Joe!
G.I. Joe Battle Bear. Joe and Cobra figures each sold separately from Hasbro. Now, back to G.I. Joe.
There's a very cute scene where adult Batman watches the tape because Gray Ghost gives him the tape and he's like, here, get out of here, which also he did not have to do. He could have been like, if that were me, I'd be like, but return it because obviously I want that. I've kept it for 35 years.
It's an important episode in the series.
So Batman goes home and adult Bruce Wayne watches it, much like he did when he was a kid.
Yep.
And he has a big smile on his face.
Is he doing it with like his... He's basically doing a full Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah,
laying on the floor.
But then Alfred—that's
some bullshit.
It's in his private theater, and Alfred brings him popcorn.
Alfred brings him popcorn,
which is already great.
And he eats it. Which, first of all, no way a man with that physique eats popcorn. But second of all, no, it no is butter very on it. Cute.
Sometimes.
Oh, it's like AirPop bullshit.
Yeah. It's a sometimes.
But it looks a little yellow in the thing. So I was like, oh, Alfred sprayed that with some butter. But knowing Alfred, he like heated up some real butter on the stove.
Oh, yours,
and then drizzled it and did just the right ratio of salt and butter. Oh, yeah. You rule, Alfred.
That sounds great right now.
I mean, the version of Alfred in your head rules.
Yeah.
You brought a lot to that.
No, he knew. Here's the thing. Alfred knows Bruce Wayne, and he knows that very few things bring Bruce Wayne joy. And he saw him sit down to watch this episode, and he was like, oh, God, this is great. How can I make this even better? I know. I'm going to make him some popcorn. But I bet Bruce Wayne went to bed that night and did so many crunches.
Yeah, but I'd say right now, if Gina's having a bad day, what's your boyfriend do? I'm going to make her some food.
Yeah.
It probably would work, right?
Yeah.
If you're listening.
But then I'll end up feeling bad about it because I'll be like, I'm so fat. And then I have to do crunches before I go to bed.
Well, you're doing those anyway. So, okay, so now we have the thing. We find out it's toy cars. Whoever the Mad Bombers is using RC cars that with bombs strapped to them. So, and I call a little bit of BS on this, that like really the police didn't notice RC cars roaming the streets. Like somehow on armed detail let that fact slip by them.
Man, Gotham is dark. It's dirty. There's tons of things running around at foot level. You learn not to look down.
There isn't a single apartment in this entire series that is well lit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's not like there are reptilos running around, you know, just...
I mean, they wouldn't notice those probably. Also, the cops in Gotham are not great either.
But in theory, like they say, every one of the buildings that has been bombed had an armed detail around it to protect it.
Yeah, you know what an armed detail is? They go like, all right, we're settling in. No one's going to blow up. What is it, a library or something like that?
Boom!
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, crap. But also, I feel like I shouldn't be blamed for this because why would anyone assume that a library would be blown up?
And why would anybody hire armed guards to protect a library, especially the chief of police who's here with us today? For reasons.
But yeah, let me just say that, like, I remembered this episode because I've watched all of Batman's many times. But this should have, at this point, you should be tipped off to who's the bad guy.
Yeah, well, you have two choices
Alfred.
Here. You have Alfred and you have Bruce Wayne himself. And it turns out actually to be neither of those, Chan.
What?
You have two choices because at first I thought it was going to be the guy from the YouTube store. The guy from the videotape store, because he was kind of a dick.
Fat soda drinker.
Okay. I pictured the med. Yeah.
Anybody, Big Gulp. Yeah.
And then, or your second choice is the kid at the toy.
I mean, you have a third choice, which is Gray Shadow himself.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. I absolutely would have read that as
Ghost himself. But here's the thing.
But it's Adam West, and he's a hero, and he'd never agree to that.
Yeah. I would say, like, you should know that there's no way it's going to turn out to be Adam West, because they're trying to do a little bit of a misdirect here. But also, two of the Batman episodes that we've watched,
yes,
they follow the same formula,
yes.
which is you see someone early on who's not in the Batman universe normally.
Oh, I should, before you finish that thought, the landlord. We did have a third choice, theoretically. The landlord who was banging on his door telling him.
Oh.
Or the agent, I guess. We had four potential choices.
Okay, I guess if it was, the agent would have been a smart thing if the agent was like, I needed to make my guy relevant again. Okay.
I mean, that's how I'm rewriting it. But anyway, I'm sorry. But so we introduced to a character that is in no other episode.
Yeah, and like clearly it's going to be that person.
Yeah.
But yeah, I won't spoil it because maybe people haven't figured it out.
It's like Law and Order. If you ever watch a Law and Order SVU and you're introduced by somebody who you recognize from a commercial or some other property.
No, not just a commercial. Someone who's like fucking famous. Like if Robin Williams is in that episode, Robin Williams is the creeper.
Robin Williams is the one that raped that kid, yeah.
Yeah, or if Fred Savage is in an episode, you're like, Fred Savage is going to be the rapist.
But I saw one where I recognize the guy from like some like obscure TV show, and I was just like, oh, it's the guy from that thing. He's the janitor. Oh no, the janitor molested all those kids.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it works, and it's the same logic in Batman.
Also, I will say, both episodes that we've watched, because the last one, it was Harvey Bullock's apartment manager who did it, and I sympathize with that dude. Like, I was like, yep, I would have done this too if there was a guy that had cockroaches in the apartment. And at the end, when we find out who did it, I would have been like, yep, I sympathize with this person.
Well, let's jump ahead, because there's a huge explosion. Batman ends up being saved by the Gray Ghost. As he's running down an alley, he finds one of the cars, the one that he didn't blow up. He sees there's no bomb in it. He's like, well, there's only one reason why there wouldn't be a bomb in it, and it's because it's a decoy to get me to this. Crap, there's like a million cars coming at me right now.
Yeah, but also the Gray Ghost saves him by throwing a rope down and pulling him up.
Loved it.
Which, first of all, you're still strong, dude. That, like, Batman in this thing with his fucking barrel chest, he's got to be over 200 pounds. And 200, he's, and I'm saying he's in costume.
Be like 275. I mean, like, I think with the gadgets.
Like, full costume, full gadgets. He's got to weigh a ton. And old ass Adam West pulls him up like it's and then he gets to the top and he's in costume.
He's wearing the Grey Ghost outfit.
Oh,
so magical.
It is.
But then they have like one of the weirdest car chases I've ever seen, because they hop in the Batmobile and the RC cars, who are very fast, are coming after them. And the RC cars are keeping up.
Like, they're clearly equally as fast as an adult-sized car.
Not just an adult-sized car, the Batmobile.
But also, here's what I will say. The scene where they see the cars coming down and you have Bruce Wayne Batman and then Adam West Grey Ghost, and Adam West says something to him, like, he's like, start the car.
Yes.
And then they both jump into the car at the same time. Super cool.
Super cool. And I actually, it's slight shenanigans I'm calling here again on the Mad Bomber, because I played a lot of video games. I played a lot of Mario Kart. I can only manage to keep one car going, much less navigate with joysticks multiple cars at the same time.
That is true. That's a good point.
And keep them all going and keep them all in the right direction. Because they're making,
I mean,
like,
maybe
turns,
some of them
swerves.
Are on the same thing.
You use swarm technology. It's a form of programming where you
go
have
on.
One lead car and others use algorithms to follow along.
Whoa.
While still maintaining the integrity of the swarm. And also, you know, going in the direction that you want it to.
Is that a thing that existed in Gothic 1992? I mean, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it did, because we've just seen
yes.
it.
At some point...
Well, now they go to the Batcave.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
Yeah, so they go to the Batcave and...
This is a silly moment.
No!
Bruce Wayne, Batman in the Batcave in a secret compartment has... A shrine to the Grey Ghost.
Okay, but
that
here's
was a
the
little,
thing.
That was a
here's
little.
Here's the thing:
silly.
When you find out, like, the Grey Ghost is like, this looks like, and then Bruce Wayne goes, the Grey Ghost Lair, and he's like, yeah, it almost looks like an exact replica, and he's like, oh yeah, it is. So then you find out, like, oh, like adult, which, like, seriously, honestly, if someone was like, all right, you can build any super secret hideout that you want, I would probably model it on something that I saw and loved when I was little too,
without question.
If I have all the money in the world.
I've
but
always
now,
dreamed of living in the Resident Evil mansion, just for the record.
I mean, build it.
It's like every time you walk into the entry hall, a zombie dog bursts in through the window.
I mean,
you
if I'm lucky.
You have to keep genetically engineering zombie dogs, though. That gets really expensive.
Zombie
no,
dogs
you just,
are hard.
You just glue spaghetti onto a normal dog.
No, I was going to say, you hire an actor.
Yeah.
Who then just, like, wears a dog costume, like an episode of that Scared Alive show?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The one with Tracy Morgan?
Yeah, and Shannon Doherty hosted it. Fear, no.
It's not Fear Factor.
No, it's not Fear Factor. Fear it's Factor. The other one.
Yeah.
I love it, though, because it's hilarious.
And they hire actors to wear, like, terrible.
Yeah.
They hire little people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They hire whatever.
The best episode was with a little person. There was a guy that was, like, an animal lover and an all creatures lover.
And they put him in the lab.
And then he's so scared. But at the same time, he wants to make sure that the thing in there, which is dressed like a tiny demon, is a little person dressed like a tiny demon. So he's scared out of his mind. And the guy goes, do you need help, little man? And it is the funniest.
That's the only episode of that I remember, because it was so vivid.
Good.
But anyway, I would hire someone to do that in my house.
But so here we have, so Batman is like, oh, so he's showing off his lair sort of to the Grey Ghost, who inspired
totally
the lair. Grey Ghost just saved his life. Batman puts a tiny toy car on the fingerprint scanner, and it's like, only one set of fingerprints. Yours, Grey Ghost. Yeah, I can't believe. And I'm like, come on, Batman.
Here's the thing, though. If there wasn't that real strong emotional tie, which needs to come around at the end of the episode.
Right.
I absolutely would have pegged Grey Ghost as the perpetrator. You know, it would be the turn and like, oh, no, I needed this and everything else in my life is shit. And so I had to become
again, I feel like it's too obvious a choice and Batman is too smart for it. Plus, Grey Ghost has already said, oh, I sold a bunch of these. So obviously his fingerprints are going to be on it. It would be more suspicious if they weren't.
Think about it, though. If Batman doesn't really know about Simon Trent, he doesn't really know who this guy is, what's going through his head.
Yeah.
So here's the stats. One, the car that was used in the bombings has his fingerprints all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's mimicking an episode of a TV show that it's been established only he has access to. And now he's in the Batcave. This could be like danger close right here. I mean, this could be like boom Batman forever.
I feel like, because here's the thing. Yes, I agree that if he was any average Joe Schmo trying to put, if he was us trying to put pieces together, fine. But Batman is like he's much smarter than the average man, and he frequently will look at things in other episodes where breadcrumbs are laid that someone is trying to frame someone,
yeah.
And he goes, "This doesn't feel right." So this for me was one of those moments where I was like, "Really?"
Well, to be fair, it doesn't take a ton of convincing for him to get off that high horse.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, Grey Ghost is like, it can't be that guy, I get it,
Batman. Needs to recognize that he has a blind spot for this dude because obviously here's a shrine to, you know, all the things you did. If it turns out that like there are some actors that turn out to be real assholes.
What?
Like if Adam West turned out in real life to have bombed a bunch of places, I'd be like,
I'd like him more.
But also, he's too obvious. Like the main actor in the TV show, of course. I mean, you know, of course he's.
Well,
saying it's Sideshow Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it was Bruce Lee as Kato, we're done. Green Hornet? No?
I know what Green Hornet
is. Okay. So it turns out to be the kid at the toy store. He is the Mad Bomber.
By the way, I wrote Ray. Is this like where you work?
Ray, are you a Mad Bomber?
Because seriously, he goes in there and there's like a kid and he's surrounded by all these like figurines and toys and he has glasses and he's blonde and I'm just saying, I think that this is where Ray works and we're all...
Ray is being way too quiet. Guys, I do not
we're
like
all...
This
is leading
like
to
is
Ray
going
insane.
Guys, let's just move on.
And also, his reasoning again, first of all, it seems very Ray-like. But I will say I sympathize with him. Also, how many freaking cars do you have?
He bought all of them.
There's like 80 of them. Why do you need that many cars?
And you could make replicas. Like you don't have to use the actual props from the TV show.
No, I think he's a purist. I think he's a purist. But he's. I sympathize with him because his excuse is basically like, I want to buy toys. Toys are expensive.
Listen, I get this motivation more than anybody else in the world. I want all the toys.
Like he was basically like, I'm just a dude who wants to buy toys, and people should give me money to buy toys.
Yeah. And then I could use toys to get people to give me more money, which is also like the theory of why he owns a store called Yester Toys.
Yeah, which also like you'd think this dude would never sell any of those toys. He seems like the type of guy that if someone comes in and is like, how much for this? He's like, that's not for sale.
Oh, that's for show.
It's not. And then everyone's like, is there anything in this store for sale? And he's like, no.
No. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Look at my toys. I will not play with my toys.
I sympathize with them.
I get this guy. And so a fight scene, a lame fight scene, let's face it. This guy is not exactly a ninja.
Lame fight scene, but I am happy that Grey Ghost has been so active and has been fighting this whole time. He's still got it.
Yeah, he actually burst through a window, which was just amazing. I'm like, I would be concerned for his health after that.
Yeah,
that
was... I was like, oh, he died. Just like when he's next to the window.
He lands on him dead.
Five times in this episode.
I don't remember if we were talking about it on mic or off mic, but we were talking earlier about the possibility of The Rock being
oh, that was He-Man on mic, sir.
At some point. Okay.
Oh, that was all the
that
way on the show.
That was the previous episode, though.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like at some point, he is not going to have the physique to be able to play a He-Man.
He's got to do it now, is what you're saying.
What I'm saying is that even still, I feel like if he were 60 years old, like he'd probably still be pretty strong. I don't know what Hulk Hogan could bench press these days, but he still has a lot of muscle mass.
Yeah,
he's got to be a little strong.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I could see Grey Ghost being
Sly Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger are still.
Yeah, you take a lot of
out. You know,
do some HGH and.
Here's the deal. Don't judge. You got to do it.
He's
you
a different. But Grey Ghost is a different type of hero than those guys. I feel like he's not. He's not the like I'm super super muscly and strong. He's like I'm agile.
It takes a different body tone to play Conan than it does to play Star-Lord.
Yeah.
For example.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen Chris Pratt's ass?
Yeah, Chris
Pratt's he's worked out a ton, but like he covers up like all the time, you know, just saying.
Right. Yeah,
he's
but
still
have
got
you
that
seen...
like fat guy attitude of I'm not going to take my shirt
he's
off.
Shameful,
though.
Yeah. Well, this is the big lesson I learned in this episode. If we're about to learn something,
if you work in a toy store for too long, you eventually go homicidally insane, right?
Well, I've already known that, so I didn't learn that. It's don't poop where you eat. I think that's the lesson here because he's got a Mad Bomber's secret lair in his toy store that it seems he also lives in, which means that if things go south and things go poor, he loses everything in one fell swoop. So when the explosion happens, destroying everything in his life, he literally has nothing left. He's done.
Yeah, but also, I mean, he doesn't have enough money, Ray. He's gotta have lair, living place, and working place all in the same place. He's not renting out three different places.
Who would do that? Who would have a thing that they actually like do like things that they work on where they live? That's ridiculous. Who would live like that? Chan, do you have an opinion on this?
Oh, burp it all of you so hard.
But also, the worst part of this, and I blame Batman, is that the whole toy place goes up in flames.
Yeah, the whole thing is destroyed.
Like, you couldn't, didn't have you to couldn't be. Like, Batman, you couldn't go back in and save some of those toys? Wow. What's wrong with you?
Vindictive.
Ugh, he's the worst.
Never mind the library that blew up and all the books that were destroyed.
Yeah, but...
Toys is
old,
more important.
Old toys. They can reprint those books.
Thank you.
It's not like there was a library full of first editions or something.
The internet's going to exist with all those books on it. Not going to be for those toys.
Fun fact about this episode, which was great.
Yes.
Other than the reporter, Summer. I believe her name is Summer, right? Who's in a lot of episodes as a storytelling device. No, not a single woman.
Oh, that's right, huh?
Yeah.
Well, maybe other women in the crowd at the end when he signs the comic book.
Sure,
I only remember dudes.
Sure there are some women in the crowd.
The very end of the episode is Batman like goes over as Bruce Wayne to sign it. Because now all of a sudden, because of the case and what happened, Simon Trent's back on top. Mm-hmm. He's released. He's done the thing I told him to do at the start. Released the Grey Ghost episodes. So now suddenly they're going to be popular again. And he's ended up signing.
No, he doesn't. What? When does it say he does that? He's just famous because he thwarted the actual Mad Bomber.
Yeah, and the episodes were coming back out again.
Oh, but I mean, like, not. I'm assuming that that's because. Yeah.
He owns the only copy. I assume he did the thing.
I mean, again, that means someone approached him and said, hey, do you have access to these? That wasn't just him being like, I'm going to release them.
I don't know. I feel like
how do I release stuff?
He's keeping it in secret. I imagine it was him telling people like, I have these if you think we could make money off of them. No?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. The important thing is that now he has a resurgence similar to Adam West.
Adam West right now, yeah.
And also at the end of the episode, he definitely knows Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Yes, he comes over and he gives him one of the same lines he said as Batman about watching with my dad and da-da-da-da-da. And then there's like a look and he's like, hey, you're...
Yeah, he has like he has a smile. Right.
Cool.
And then
cool.
I'm just like, oh. The next episode is just him selling that secret to the tabloids.
Yeah, the Joker comes to him and says, I hear you're behind on your rent.
Yeah, and he's like,
that was a terrible Joker impression, thank you.
Yeah, what was that?
I was. I don't even know what that was.
It was like Werner Herzog mixed with like...
It was Rocky Rococo from the Fire Sign Theater, which is a Peter Lorre impression.
I hear you're behind on your rent.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now I know that you have the secret of the Batman.
But yeah, I just feel like Batman, maybe guard that secret a little more closely. Or wait until he's like almost dead and then tell him.
Thank you. Yeah.
Before you die.
It was a sweet moment.
I just want you to know. I'm not Batman.
Although he is old, it could be any day. So he
no,
maybe
yeah,
you thought that he was going to die like eight times this episode. Maybe once he releases his videos, I thought he was going to die because he releases videos. That's what happens when you release videos at that age.
He turned out to be a lot more resilient and spry than I thought.
There it is.
Oh, God. No human being wants to be told they're spry.
I would dream of people telling me I'm spry. Are you kidding me right now?
No, spry only gets applied when they think you're going to die and you manage to do something like stand up off the couch by yourself.
False. My first piece of evidence, the episode of Buffy where she meets Angel and she kicks him. She does sort of a flip and kicks him with her shoes. And he goes, I thought you'd be taller. You're a lot spryer than I thought, though.
Yeah, because he's 8 billion years old.
Because he's old.
No, I would love it if someone I would love it if someone came to a dodgeball game and they were like, fuck, that little girl's spry.
You know, it's like the equivalent of somebody being like, he's sharp. Which implies that like you're dudderdly and you were never expected of anything. So whenever I see somebody's like, yeah, Ray, he was really sharp. I'm like, because we were expecting him to be a goddamn moron. And it turned out he had a couple things to say. Wow, he didn't drool on himself, guys. He's so sharp.
The dictionary definition says, especially of an old person.
Thank you.
So this is there.
What
are
dictionaries that says that? That's not a real
I don't
dictionary.
Know, Merriam-Webster.
Do you not believe that I know how to use friggin' Google?
What? That's like the top thing where people put in whatever they want.
Yeah, check the Urban Dictionary
Urban
for Spry.
Dictionary for Spry.
Maybe that's what we're looking
for. It's
going to
be like when a guy poops on a woman's chest and then gets some in her eye and it gives her a sty. It gives her a poop sty. Hey, I just came up with that on my own. Someone add that shit to Urban Dictionary.
Hashtag Urban Dictionary, that shit.
I just came up with that real fast. Poops in your eye, get a poop sty, you call it a spry.
To be fair, though, like, isn't half of Urban Dictionary just, it starts with, like, okay, poop on each other.
Yep.
Like, are people really doing any of these things? Like,
here's the thing. You want to know something funny? When I wrote for Regular Show.
Yes.
And we would invent names for characters or names for planets, because the last season of Regular Show was set in space. We had to check Urban Dictionary to make sure. And there was one where it was like an entry into Urban Dictionary, but it was like from years ago. It didn't have that many likes. And we were like, I think we can use this and the censors will not notice.
Probably.
And I haven't watched the episode, so I don't know if we used
it. What was it?
I can't remember. But if you're a Regular Show fan and we named the planet a planet something, Google the name of that planet.
Because it would not be an Urban Dictionary.
It was a really good name of a planet, and I remember we were all really bummed when it was on Urban Dictionary and it was something bad.
It was weird because it was named Chess Pooper.
I was going to say Steamer. So, yeah.
There it is. Well, guys, that'll do it for this episode of We Ended Like That. That's how we're going to end this episode with Cleveland Steamer. Batman the Animated Series, Beware the Grey Ghost. Brian Rapp, thank you so much for your support. It means more than you know. Good things. We've already got to say.
It's the only thing saving us from becoming gray ghosts who need to sell off our toys.
Please don't make me sell my toys. You don't know what that would do to me. But patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast, as you know, you could up it from $5 to $20 or more, and we can get access. You can tell us other shows we're going to do. We're going to start doing even more of these, I think, as the time goes on, as we start booking more guests and we start like expanding on the concept. This Patreon thing is going to have a lot more content on it than we even produce already now, and it's a reasonable amount already. So for $5 a month, totes worth. Go to facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. You probably know that already. On Twitter, at G.I. Joe Podcast. Or individually for me, I am at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy, and there's also at Prez Serpentor.
At Prez Serpentor on Twitter. He needs more follows.
One.
Yeah, he's got some. He's 100. He just passed his 100 days, first 100 days in office.
Oh, how's
he
doing?
Had a lot to
how's
say
he
about
doing?
It. He needs more days.
Okay, okay.
He's asked for an extra 50 days to reach his first 100 days appropriately.
If I recall, when he took over, he said, the first 100 days, I'm going to do so many great Serpentor-y things.
Yeah, and he's wondering who said that. who's holding him to that?
I heard his team is like now saying like, the first 100 days in Cobra means nothing.
Yeah. You know, his big deal is that he's requested an extension on his final term paper. Uh-huh. But so it goes. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back probably with Silverhawks. I don't think any of the other suggestions in yet. I think maybe we did get one on Patreon. I'll check it anyway. You guys don't need to hear about that while you're listening to this. until next time. Keep the ghosts gray and your Adams West.
What? No. No. No.
I'm just picturing gray pubes now.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.